Hi there, it's Sarah from Flocking Amazing. As you're listening to this episode, you might notice that my sound quality is a bit off. I had an issue with my microphone, but the conversation was so good that I just couldn't bring myself to delete it. So I'm sorry for the poor sound quality. It won't happen again, and I hope you enjoyed this episode anyway. Flocking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I've had some really fabulous grown-ups on this podcast, but I have to say I'm feeling some like intimidation about today's guest because I think she's like, I'm so excited to have her here. So I am thrilled to introduce you to Tanya Coates. And before I let her talk, I want to do a little intro of her because Tanya is, of course, an incredible educator who is like beloved by her students and coworkers, but she's also one of the first Bird Brain Technologies super users that I was introduced to when I started with the team back in 2021. She is a microbit champion. She is a CSTA Equity Fellow. She was a 2022 CS Teacher Excellence Award winner. And if that is not enough, recently she was featured on CBS Mission Unstoppable as a leading female in STEM. So whether you are watching Twitter or, X or TV or like wherever you are, Tanya Coates is there and she is owning it. And I am thrilled to have her here. So Tanya, thank you so much for coming on Flocking Amazing.
Wow, that intro was like something out of this world. I mean, that sounded like I was actually really special. Thank you for that. Thank you so much.
I'm really excited that you're here and calling in all the way from California, and I'm in Virginia, so like we both had to do a little bit of limboing to find the right time here.
East Coast meets West Coast. I love it.
Yeah. What can we say? We bring it together. So Tanya, can you tell our listeners, who are you and what is your teaching story?
Okay. Well, again, as Sarah said, my name is Tanya Coates. I am from Southern California. I recently just left the classroom after 20 plus years. I have a new role now as a teacher on special assignment. I am an instructional technology coordinator where I facilitate technology across the school district in grades K through 12. So I'm super excited to start this new role. My teaching story is actually quite interesting because I had no plans on becoming a teacher. I've always been intrigued with like technology and crafts. I was that girl that would like take apart a Barbie and like put it back together again, cut her hair off, you know, give her a few different styles, change the outfits, and I just love to see how things worked. But not having any like formal like instruction on that, I didn't know it was possible with like those sort of skills when I was younger. So I kind of let that whole dream of crafting and even like technology kind of die a little bit. But when I went to college, I actually was a biology major. But as soon as I started working on like cadavers, that dream died because I would faint when we had to do some things. It wasn't for me. Let's just say that. So luckily, I actually got a job on my college campus computer lab, because back then, no one had personal devices. You know, we went to a lab to actually do computer-related work. And then I got hired there, and I began helping teachers and professors learn about technology. And then I ended up switching my major to computer science. And I actually, after graduating, I worked for a healthcare company as a software developer for a short period of time. And then how I ended up a teacher, as I got older, I wanted to have a family. I needed more time at home. I said, okay, well, let me try out this teaching thing. And I loved it. You know, I was in it for, I've been in it ever since. I love being able to bring myself into my classroom and just giving like kids an avenue to express themselves and just having them love school. And I tried to be that teacher I wish I had when I was younger, and just, you know, create that atmosphere where school could be a place where you can fail, but also learn from your failures.
And you said one of my favorite lines, something that I thought about when I was a full-time teacher as well, being the teacher that you needed when you were younger. That's so powerful. I mean, some teachers get into education because they had a wonderful experience at school and they loved it and they want to be that for somebody else. And some teachers get into it because they maybe didn't get what they needed. Are you more that you didn't get, or a little bit of both? You don't have to name any teachers because we don't know who's listening right now.
I won't name any teachers, but you know, I honestly, I don't feel like I got that teacher that I connected with. Mm-hmm. And so I knew, you kind of know what kids need when you have that absence of like that nurturing from teachers. Mm-hmm. But I always try to build a huge connection with my students and also their parents. It just creates a true bonding experience. And kids, you know, I have kids that graduated from college that still contact me. So like that connection never dies. So it's super important to build those connections with students so they have that lifelong love of learning.
I talk to a lot of teachers, and not everybody has those connections that last when their students are in college. So you talk about how that connection never dies, but I think that's only true if you really put so much work into it. That says a lot about the kind of teacher that you are. And how fun that you got there from a career in like the healthcare field and from studying computer science. I had no idea.
It's, you know, I don't know. When I went to college, you know, you don't really know what you want to do. So it's good to try different things. So luckily I had that avenue to like try a few things to figure out what exactly I wanted to do. So yeah, it's been like a 360, and I feel like I'm coming back full circle going into this new role. It just kind of all tied in together. I think I needed each experience to like be the person I am now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, your new role sounds really exciting.
I'm super excited on incorporating like all the things I was doing in my own personal classroom mm-hmm. across the district. So I'm super excited to like branch out and to share to a wider audience.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the things that you were doing in the classroom, so it sounds like your love of technology started young. I keep picturing you hacking your Barbies. I love that. Oh, sorry. If you can hear a jingling, it is because even my cat is drawn to Tanya. He is rolling around right in front of the microphone. So if you hear his jingling, that's what that is. But so you came to technology naturally. How about robotics and creative robotics? How did you make your way into those fields?
So it started when I kind of expanding like my personal learning network communities. I met some pretty influential women online, and I'm going to name drop because I feel like they should be like out there in the world. Bambi Brewer. She's from Birdbrain Technology initially. I met her online initially, and she was doing like these amazing projects with creative robotics. She helped me really understand on like how to use simple craft supplies to create mechanisms. And she was just super helpful to me, super nice. And she still continues to inspire me on even the new space she's in. I think she's developing like robotic systems. She's just like this awesome like person. So she's definitely one of those people that inspired me to go into this space. Cecilia Hillway, she's also like, she's this like amazing artist. She uses like her robotics to like animate her artwork. It's so, when you watch her do her work, and she does a good job of explaining the back end, how she was able to create these things. She's another person that when I saw her work, I was like, I got to bring this into my classroom. Like, this is just like simply amazing. I would like dream about like doing some of her projects in my classroom. And another person, she's from the Bay Area. Her name is Helen G. She's a teacher, and she does like these amazing like robotics, engaging her students in like project-based learning. just simply like outstanding. And all Jasmine Florentine, she does like a lot of like paper robotic things that are super awesome. But all these women honestly helped me understand what was possible with creative robotics. The knowledge that they gave me kind of took my understanding to a whole nother level. And it's weird because it kind of went full circle, because I would learn from them. I would take these lessons back to my classroom. My students would take these back to the students at my school. They would share it with their peers. I would take them to like teaching conferences, and they would share what they learned and explain it to teachers. So honestly, just expanding my community and my network of people kind of got me into this space, and I absolutely love it. It makes me happy.
So amazing. So you saw, by the way, every single person that you mentioned is, I was like, oh, I love them. Oh, that's so great. Oh my gosh. I'm so in awe of them too. Like, so if you are listening, I wrote these, if you're listening, Helen and Bambi and Cecilia and Jasmine, you are inspiring just a huge community of teachers and students. So thank you. But so you saw people doing amazing things and thought, I can do that. And then your students saw you doing amazing things and thought, I can do that. And then other students saw your students doing amazing things and thought, I can do that. I mean, talk about a ripple effect.
Yes, it was a huge ripple effect. I know, like, it got to the point where, like, students from other classrooms, they would just want to be in my classroom or in my spaces, and they want to go back to their classrooms. So I did have to do, like, an after-school thing so I could have other students join my class, because they would see what we would do, and they were like, wow, like, I want to do that. Like, just super inspiring. And also, like, we would go to conferences, and teachers would look at my students do these things. They're like, you did this? Like, you're like in fourth grade. Like, how? Like, show us how. So it was inspiring also to other educators. So just creating that ripple effect, I think, like, being online, joining these communities, I think we kind of all inspire each other, which has been huge. So I'm super excited, even like, you know, the Berberine community, like Twitter, EdTech community, Instagram, like all these different various communities, kind of, we all kind of like feed off each other and inspire each other. Oh. The Computer Science Teachers Association has truly been an invaluable component of my professional journey, especially being selected to be a part of the CSEA Equity Fellowship this year. This was a year-long program that broadened my view of equitable teaching practices and also being an advocate for computer science for students who traditionally been unrepresented in CS. I met educators from around the country in this program, and they had become an essential part of my professional network. They have shared their wisdom and experience to reinforce my commitment to CS advocacy.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. I get to run our social media as part of my job, and the stuff I see every day is incredible. It's so great. Teachers are so amazing.
Teachers are amazing. I must say, like, I'm happy to have found my way into this space, because first of all, teachers are willing to share their knowledge. Like, it's a little different than like maybe the business world. They're just eager to share and, you know, help you grow as a person and help develop your skills as well.
And all of the people that you mentioned and yourself, I would consider you all to be so generous with your expertise and your successes and your failures. Like, you share your journeys online in a way that other people can follow along and really learn and grow with you.
I agree with that.
Can you share a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from your classroom, maybe from your time using creative robotics?
Let's see. There's a lot of rewarding and challenging moments. I think one year we were, one of two students wanted to build a project. They were developing it for like the Do Your Bit Challenge. And they want to create like a bee that kind of like simulated like going around a beehive, and that would like collect data just to see if everything was okay with the beehive, because, you know, bees are becoming extinct, and mm-hmm. this is one way to check on like how they're thriving in their space. And it was a pretty like challenging project, and it failed quite a bit. It felt quite a bit. The beehive kept falling apart. The mechanism was like falling over as the servo was going, and for it was a hot mess for a minute. And they were about to give up. The two students were like, "I don't know. I don't think this is gonna ever function correctly." And I was just like, you know, let's just like take a step back. You know, sometimes you gotta do things and like let's deconstruct it. Why don't you go and see, you know, break it apart? I think their code wasn't even working at one point as well. But then as they like broke it apart, they slowly began to see what was going on. They were able to see why like their mechanism and the stability of it was, you know, wasn't working. And they were better able to like focus on their code and see why wasn't working with their design. And then, you know, over time, over the course of actually a few months, because it wasn't overnight, the beehive became sturdier. The bees started to move smoothly and the code started to cooperate. And then there was one glorious day, everything worked correctly. And I think the joy in getting that to work was like the best moment of their lives, because they were seriously about to give up. It was honestly the best. It made me super excited as well, because, you know, as a teacher, sometimes you don't have all the answers as well. So you're learning with your kids. Mm-hmm. So just to see them like come from this space where they were just devastated to actually like succeeding through like problem solving and having the patience to see it, you know, to fruition. It was just amazing. So like, I think that's the best part of creative robotics, is just to see that process kids go through of failing and succeeding and all the emotions that go along with it. And those are things that you will definitely utilize when you grow up and you go into the workforce and any chosen career you decide to go into. But just having that perseverance to like to continue to see it through and you know, to see that outcome, because, you know, eventually if you work at it, it's eventually going to have a positive outcome.
And it can be really challenging to be the support that students need to keep going when, especially like that beehive, when it's been failing and failing and failing and failing to keep going and to take that step back when you're so sure you're right there and you just kind of want to chuck it against the wall. It takes a very special teacher to guide through that moment.
And as a teacher, it takes a special patience of yourself to like, you know, especially when you don't exactly have an answer for them. Because, you know, robotics, I feel like you learn with your students. You do not have all the answers because they're creating projects that you've never worked on. These are their designs. So you're learning with them. So as a teacher, I mean, you develop that patience along with your students as well.
Are you saying that you did not make a giant interactive beehive in your computer science degree? Because I don't know if I don't know if I believe that.
Never made that.
What advice would you give to teachers who are looking to start teaching with technology and maybe incorporating creative robotics into their classes?
Say, you know, start small. I don't feel like you need to build this complex robot with all this intricate programming from the start. Start with simple projects that kind of introduce basic concepts, how mechanisms work, different things like that. There's plenty of like beginner friendly projects that you can find that provide like that structural learning path. And as you know, start with those projects, confidence grows, and then you can gradually introduce more like complex projects. Another thing, a piece of advice is, like I discussed earlier, find your people. Having just like have that supportive community around you is super important. I know I used to get like, I would have tons of questions and there was no one at my school or my space that could answer these questions. Yeah. And I would go online and those ladies I spoke to you about, like they would give me solutions. They would give me suggestions to go and try. And it just made that learning process so much better. I know, like, you know, educators don't always have those people in their spaces. So just going out and finding people, attending workshops, conferences. I know I've been to a lot of Bird Brain workshops. CodeJoy, oh my gosh.
Oh,
awesome.
Yes.
Like, been to a lot of those workshops. And like, this network of people will not only provide like that moral support, but they're also a great resource for exchanging ideas, discussing challenges, and also sharing solutions. Embracing failure. Yeah, you gotta learn how to embrace failure. It's just super important to communicate to your students and yourself that failure is just a natural part of the learning process, especially in a field like creative robotics, where there's not really a set path that you need to go on. It's trial and error is the norm in this space, and just encouraging them to view failures as learning opportunities rather than like setbacks. I would also say focus on creativity. That's like the best part of like creative robotics. The technical aspect of robotics is significant, but don't forget the creative part. Like, that's the part where it's going to keep your students going. I know the creative part also introduced a lot of my girls to robotics that weren't naturally drawn to robotics. So encouraging students to think out the box and fusing their personality and their artistic abilities and visions into the products will make this, will make it more enjoyable for creating these types of projects. And also one last thing I would like to talk about is relating it to like the real world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it's so like significant to like connecting projects and concepts to like the real world. And not only makes like all the lessons like understanding, but it makes it more interesting, and it helps students understand like the relevance and the potential of what they're learning, what they could do. I'm a huge fan of connecting sustainable development goals to like creative roboting. This is like, this like increases students' awareness and understanding of like what our world's challenges are and how we can use creative robotics to actually solve these challenges. So since those are not like maybe top advice I would give for that.
And you mentioned a few things there that I am going to link for people who are listening, who I'm going to find those sustainable development goals, the micro bit, do your bit challenge so that people can see what that's all about. And I'm also going to tag some of those incredible mentors and role models that you talked about, because they love sharing their work. And once they hear this, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, bring on all the new people, right?
And definitely. And I, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, like there's, you need to like tell these people, like, you need to acknowledge like the create, like the awesomeness that they're doing.
Oh yeah.
Because they, if you follow these people I mentioned, you're going to, your whole world is going to open up. You're going to be like, what? This is possible? This is what they're doing now? So yes, definitely follow those people.
What? Oh, that is so true. Okay, we've heard a lot about all of the people that you are amazed by that have done amazing things for you. And now I want to hear you talking about you as an educator. So Chanya, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
This is the hardest question of all, because, you know, I'm a Virgo. Virgos don't really brag about themselves. We're just doers. We just
hyping up everybody else.
So this is like, oh gosh. Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but
you should. That's why I asked.
I have a knack for making learning fun and engaging. I think that kind of sets me apart. Like, when I'm in the classroom teaching these lessons, it's not going to be boring. You're not going to fall asleep. You're going to be interested from start to finish. Earlier when I said like school wasn't the biggest blast for me when I was younger. So I try my best just to make the space so kids don't want to leave. So kids want to stay forever. I've had students that, you know, time went by so fast. The bell would ring like, oh, we got to leave now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I was like, we'll be back tomorrow. But I always want to create a space where they feel safe. They feel safe to fail. They feel safe to like try new things. And, you know, I mean, isn't failing and, you know, stumbling a part of the learning process? So, you know, you have to be comfortable in those spaces. So I would definitely say, you know, just making learning fun would probably be my biggest attribute.
Oh yeah. And I think that makes you a flocking, amazing role model and workshop leader and educator of kids and adults. Like, it's not just kids that need those things, and clearly not just kids that need those kinds of role models that are having fun and taking risks.
Oh, thank you so much. By the way, I love when you say flocking. I just love how that rolls off your tongue.
We do have some new t-shirts that say Be Flocking Amazing. And we had our Flocking Amazing Educator bags at ISTE, and it made me so proud to see them walking around the hall. I was like, I see someone who's flocking amazing over there. It was very exciting.
I got one of those bags. That is my favorite bag. And yes, I just put, like, having it in print and you're just like walking around with it, and people would read it and then they were like, what are you? And they're like, oh, I get it. So no, I absolutely love that. I love it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Tanya, before we wrap up, is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
Let's see. Just don't be scared to try new things. Definitely try all of Burbank Technologies products. Like, I've been using them for years. Every single one of them, like, is super awesome. I remember I was using the Hummingbird Duo before you switched over to Microbit.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was an upgrade. That was like a major, major upgrade. And like, ever since then, like, I would write grants. I would also ask, like, my school district, like, for money for these kits. So, like, your products alone has, like, kind of changed how I think about bringing creative robotics, especially to the elementary spaces. It enables, like, younger kids to, like, develop robots without having to, like, solder and, you know, use tools that they're not really ready for. But definitely check your products out. It's super cool, especially at the elementary and middle school level. Bring that robotics to such an early age of students.
Thank you. That's the reason I love it too. It makes it so accessible to everyone. It's really, I work for Burbank because I really believe in our mission of inspiring deep and joyful hands-on learning for all students and making it accessible. And I'm just so thrilled to talk to you about all of the things that you're doing to make that happen. So thank you so much for being here, Tanya.
Thank you so much. And I forgot to give a shout out to Tom. Tom is also super amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I've met him, like, on several occasions. I don't think I've ever met, like a CEO that was, like, so personable. But another shout out to Tom. He's awesome.
Yeah, totally agree. Tom is the best. He truly is. Well, thank you, Tanya. And listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers, sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.